As the Lord may be pleased to help me, I would direct you prayerfully to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, and reading verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. We're reading here of Christ's Sermon on the Mount. Oh, how feeble we feel to be in this solemn position that we're in, to continue in the footsteps of Christ, and yet feeling so unworthy, so ignorant and foolish. And yet venture we must, because we trust of his leadings and guidings to join the church and to be sent forth with the approbation of the church at Metfield those many years ago. And having obtained help of God, dare I say, having been helped of God thus far, to declare his counsels. And all we look to him to truly bless his own word, that we might be led to speak today, but above all to know these blessings of these Beatitudes as they are referred to here below. But in particular, this hunger and thirst after righteousness. Oh, how countless millions will be void of this knowledge of the truth, will be devoid of being born again by the Spirit, and will die in their sins. And we privileged souls, if we're not mistaken, have been called by his grace. We're not what we would be. Trust that we're not what we once were. That we might be careless and prayerless, because we have not been taught to pray, as Jesus said, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. But the blessing of the Lord, remember, maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it. There is sorrow in the world. We see it and hear of it day after day. But oh, how solemn, if we're never born again, if the word of truth doesn't search us and try us and show us our wickedness and lead us into the way everlasting. And so we must feed. We must be blessed with crumbs of mercy from his table. We must be blessed with a desire. And those feeble desires, those wishes so weak, 'tis Jesus inspires and causes us to seek. And you will know if you have received that instruction to seek the Lord while he may be found and call upon him while he's near. Hunger and thirst. By nature, we are brought to hunger and thirst for food, for our bodily sustenance. But oh, what a mercy if we are lifted out of their natural mind and have that spiritual mind which will be seeking peace and seeking that our souls might be nourished and fed with living bread and living water. And the Lord alone can grant the blessing. Or you may have sought the blessing in many things in providence, and the Lord has appeared to you and for you and favoured you with tokens of his love. But oh, how much more needful is the Spirit of truth to come down to reveal the things of God, to make to us salvation known and witness with the blood. Blessed are they. And it'll be these are they that came up with great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. That's the sustenance that keeps your soul and mine, seeking the blood of Christ that cleanseth from all sin, hunger, and thirst, after righteousness, the object of your soul's desire, having this living bread, living waters, not like the Catholics, dear friends, that sprinkle a lot of so-called holy water. What a delusion God has sent them. But let's turn away from that. But to see that the Lord alone can unite your soul and mind to walk in his fear, reverence his holy name, reverence his house, reverence the holy word that he's given to us and will open the eyes of your understanding to understand the scriptures. They shall be filled. What a mercy, dear friends, then, if he's filling your soul with knowledge and understanding of the scriptures. They shall be filled. Joy and peace in believing that he's the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and full of truth. Grace, then, being born again by the water and the Spirit, teaches you and me to bear witness. To bear witness you've been with Jesus. Those sweet moments that you might record in your mind when Jesus himself drew near. He became the one thing needful. He became the one that could feed your soul and water your soul that it might be as a well-watered garden, flourish and bear fruit in the courts of your Lord. Oh, surely you have known something of this hunger and this thirst. It's the imputed righteousness of Christ to cover with the mantle of his forgiving love all your sins and all your transgressions. You're bound up in the bond of life. Blessed Jesus. Yes, you will have those that will persecute you, those that will revile you and laugh you to scorn and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. And so it is the day you'll laugh to scorn because you attend the means of grace. But what will it profit you and me if we gain the whole world and lose our soul? It's Jesus alone can feed your soul with the knowledge of the truth. He says, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Oh, may we have this hunger and this thirst after his righteousness, the pardon of all our sins, the washing away of all that filth of nature. Cover with a mantle of his forgiving love all your sins and all my sins, and be brought into his banqueting house, and his banner over you and me will be love. Blessed Jesus, then, as you hunger, and it is but a remnant according to the election of grace, will know the joyful sound of the gospel, the sum and substance of your soul. He will perfect that that concerns your soul. He feeds you with food convenient for you. Oh, what a favour to know this in your heart, that Jesus has caused you to be born again by the water of the Spirit, making you wise to observe these things. Even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. That after all, it's his love. His Sermon on the Mount, dear friends, found an abiding place in his hearers at the time. But old men were still those that would revile him. And so, it's to have your treasure in this earthen vessel, that the excellence of power may be of God and not of man. So, no matter what man strives to do, dear friends, in his own wisdom, he will never succeed unless the Spirit of the truth comes down and applies this and that promise to their hearts. And this is a mercy. We seek all our lives if it's in the only strength of natural wisdom. But it's to seek the Lord. He's the object of faith. Jesus crucified for me, making you wise. And he comes right where you are. And sometimes when you least expect it, when your mind is set on something else that you think is good for you to have here below, but oh, to have this hunger, to have this desire, to be delivered from the lust of the flesh and the pride of man, to be humbled in the dust, if so be there might be hope of obtaining this great salvation. You want that passport to heaven. And it is through these tokens of his love that opens the windows of heaven and pours down a blessing such as there shall not be room enough to receive it. Blessed Jesus, then, that he has brought you into his banqueting house. He's given you a desire, and you've had the discernment, being born again, of what you want to know and what you long for, to be enabled to be blessed indeed. The blessing of the Lord that maketh rich and addeth no sorrow thereto. Oh, what a favour. The righteousness of Christ. It's not you feeling right, it's what the Lord bestows upon you. Crumbs of mercy from the Master's table, and they stick fast in your soul, and still you realize there is sin to be cleansed from, still need the pardon of your sin, need to be prepared for those prepared mansions in the sky. And where do you find it? By being drawn by the cords of man, by the bands of his love, who says, come unto me. All that labour and heavy laden, and I will give thee rest. And you'll have something to make you feel heavy laden and burdened. And he said, cast thy burden upon the Lord. Hunger. You see, you want the Lord to give you a living testimony. We must have a testimony, I believe, from the Lord to assure our conscience of its part in the dear Redeemer's blood. This will feed your soul. It won't be the vain things of this world will feed your soul. They may feed your body. They may feed the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. But it's hungering. And your hope will be in the merits of Jesus. Say unto my soul, Lord, I am thy salvation. Prepare me for the unknown. Prepare me for death, and after death, the judgment, that I might prove that Jesus is that advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who will plead for your case, stand in your room place instead, and get the victory over this body of sin and death through the merits of Jesus. He's given you a hunger. You want righteousness. You want evidences that you have that robe of Christ's righteousness imputed to you and me. They shall be filled. This is something for you and me to be pleading for. I want to be filled. The fulfilling of my hunger, fulfilling of my thirst, for the imputed robe of Christ's righteousness, covered with a mantle of forgiving love all my sins and all my guilt and all my iniquities, and receive that pardon. Here's the security. If sin be pardoned, I am secure. Death and no sin beside. The law gave sin its damning power. Christ, my ransom, died. And so how we need the Lord and his mercy, don't we, to grant us that deliverance from the fire of hell. And so he brings your soul then out of trouble. He brings you into that wealthy place where he speaks to you and me pardon, when he bears witness of shedding his blood for you on Calvary's tree. Sin be pardoned, I am secure. That's what we want, Lord. Do fill me. Fill me with joy and peace, my cup right run over. Joy and peace in believing that he has redeemed me from the curse of the broken law. He's the object of your soul's desire. It isn't having bountiful blessings in providence that may be a sign that he has favoured you and you'll acknowledge it, that the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. and he knoweth them that trust in him. So we shall mourn over our sins and after him, and pray, Lord, oh, that I might have some substance, some real evidence that I have been fed and watered, my soul nourished and fed with living bread and living waters that impute to me the righteousness of Christ. And so the righteous, he said, shall hold on their way. It is here a little and there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept, a journey, dear friends, for the sinner, saved by grace. And oh, how it troubles us to think there are those that we know, yes, and even love, that have no concern for the welfare of their souls. They lie down in sorrow, and this is a thing that is a great burden to believers. They have those that they witness around them that have no knowledge of the truth. Oh, it's all very well manufacturing some religion, but that won't do you and me any good, will it? It's hunger. You see, you want the Lord to give you this hunger and this thirst, and then satisfy your longing soul. So that we desire to see the Lord Jesus and to follow him, drawn by the cords of man, by the bands of his love. He won't let you go, you're his. He won't pass you by. You may be desperately in need of a token of his love. A time is set. Set time to favour you. And you see, he tells us about killing, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. Or when we think of the murderings that's going on, the lack of respect for the bodily life of those around us. But oh, what a mercy if you and I have been spared from that. Man in his anger, whoever he is capable of murder, if left to himself. But oh, what a mercy to be brought here. Lord, preserve me from bringing shame upon that dear head of thine. Preserve me from causing harm one to another, and grant that I might live peaceably, realizing that without him we can do nothing. He warns us here, this I say unto you, except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. These are definite words of Scripture. These are the words of the Lord Jesus in this very precious gospel sermon that he preached on the Mount. But oh, how many, how few that were blessed indeed with being filled with this joy and this peace. My peace I leave with you, he says in John. And so it is the case. My peace I leave with you. Not as the world give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in me. You see, this faith, which he's the author of, to believe in him, to believe what he's preached to them. There's no doubt, he said, he's seen the multitudes. He went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them. Who teacheth like him? He may raise up servants that are feeble for the work and need the Lord to continually loosen their stammering tongue and bless them with liberty in the gospel. But still they have doubts and fears in their mind whether they are truly sons and daughters of God by blessed adoption. They have a good hope. Dear Anne still had a good hope, but you see how humble she was, and we need to humble ourselves before Almighty God that we might be exhorted in due time, casting all our care upon him, for he does care for his chosen people. and we cannot boast or glory in it, but it humbles you and me to think that he has touched your heart, spoken to you, and said, the blessing of the Lord make you rich. Not with finances, dear friends, here below, with filthy lucre, which men have hunted after. We have that natural mind that we would desire this and desire that in life's journey. But what a mercy to have these feeble desires, these wishes so weak, to feed upon the truth. He says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free from the condemnation of a broken law. But oh, this blessing of the Lord that maketh rich to all intents and bliss, that when you and I and the Lord has finished with our life on the earth, that we might have an abundant entrance into his everlasting kingdom, to be with the Lord forevermore. This then is the prospect of a sinner saved by grace, and he will know that. His sins are so sanctified that they seek one thing, and that is one thing needful, and Mary had chosen that good part. And though you and I might be very much careful and troubled about many things, and yet a believer was Martha, but hunger, thirst, righteousness, to be filled, to have that living testimony and evidence that the Lord has called you by his grace, enabled you and me to cast all your cares and your burdens upon him. Lord, I've been following in the word for many years, but have I found him? Have I found him whom my soul loveth? The Lord must give you this love for the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall, as I said just now, will free you from the condemnation that you are each under, born in, as I said, conceived in sin. We're full of sin, but you'll hang your helpless soul upon the Lord. Dependence, thy whole dependence on me fixed, nor entertain a thought, thy worthless schemes with mind amidst, venture to be naught. Always a hard thing to be brought into your nothingness, your poverty, but to whom else can you go? For the Lord alone has eternal life to give to you and to me, and you will be, I believe, jointly blessed with this catalogue here of blessings upon his people, for they, you know, you'll be merciful and you'll obtain mercy. And mercy is welcome news indeed to sinners distressed with their trials. You see, you won't always be in this good frame when you're hungering and thirsting for Christ. But you see that the Lord alone is right, and what he doeth for you and me is perfect. And he will perfect that concerns your soul and mind, and he'll favour you and me with tokens and evidences to the end that he has called you by his grace. And all this unmerited mercy and love of Christ to your soul, to give you the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich, rich to all intents and bliss, to have that treasure in your earthen vessel that shall be of God and not of the flesh. And you pray, Lord, do undertake for me. Do grant me that hope that I am one of thy chosen vessels that thou hast laid down thy life for. On Calvary's tree thou hast shed thy blood. And when he came to die on the cross, then what he said, it is finished. The work that he came to do was an instruction from the Father. And in your day and age, it's the Blessed Spirit will bring to you and me those tokens and evidences that you're born of God and your treasures above, because you have a good hope through grace. You are cast down, but hope thou in God. I shall yet praise him. You have this hope, but you will yet praise him for his feeding yourself a crumb, a sip. It's not in great volumes, but here a little and there a little, line upon line and precept upon precept, where the Lord bestow upon you. You go in the strength of that righteousness, the object of Jesus, to cover you with the mantle of his forgiving love. They shall be filled. They've not yet perhaps been filled in your circumstances, but they're at an appointed time, a set time to favour you and me, when you're brought to feel he's the one thing needful. Without him I must perish in my sins, and that justly. He's a just God. He will not at all acquit the wicked. If you and me are in an unregenerate state, we need to look for this filling, for these blessed spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that he might favour you and me with fulfilling my desires. Lord, fulfil those desires that are feeble and faint, to confirm my soul with signs following, and don't leave me, Lord, to mock thee or to have an imagination. It's casting down imaginations and bringing every thought to the obedience of Christ. You think of that, every thought. It's when he girds up the loins of your mind, your hope, your sober, and hope to the end for his appearing. All the perfection difference in the pathway you and I in this side of the grave. No other refuge. He's the refuge of your weary soul. Weary, do not be wearied in well doing, for in due season you shall be blessed, even though you feel to faint. Faint not, he says, faint not. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. But oh, can we find matter for prayer? He'll give it you. You wonder sometimes, where's the sin going to end? Am I really right? Am I made right? Am I kept right? Thy whole dependence on me fixed, nor entertain a thought, thy worthless schemes with mind amidst, but venture to be naught. Nothing in my hand I bring, but their mercy is, blessed are they. This is the object of your souls, these blessings. Blessings. He opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Oh, you say, teach me then, Lord, teach me to do thy will. Do lead me in the plain path. May Christ be formed in my heart, the hope of glory, the refuge of my weary soul." Yes, because what wearies you? Why? Your infirmities, your outer man decaying, you want the inward man to be renewed day by day. Because the inward man is the never dying soul. It never dies as your soul. But our mercy is, if you and I have that body of the flesh given to you to be reconnected again to your never-dying soul. These are they that came up out of their great tribulation. We can't escape tribulation, but these are they that come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Righteousness put on for you and for me. They shall be filled. And we should need to die in the body, dear friends, before we shall have this fulfilled. When he covers your sins and mine with that robe, that glorious robe wrought out on Calvary's tree. And so this pardon and assurance of heaven. It'll be well done, thou good and faithful servant, hearer, believer. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the presence of your Lord forevermore. The Sermon on the Mount will be fulfilled, dear friends, in the souls of many that he has chosen before the world that they might live to show forth his praise, to rejoice and be exceeding glad, he tells us here. Oh, may we know this joyful sound. May we not despise it or reject it. Men will revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Filled, dear friends, your cup running over, joy and peace in believing in the merits of Jesus. What a privilege if you know a little of these things that we trust we brought forth by the Spirit's teaching. And oh, to know this great reward in heaven, laid up in store for souls such as you and me, redeemed from the curse of the law. Blessed Jesus, you'll say it and you'll feel it. But I see the time is gone, friend. I must leave it for the time. May the Lord pardon all amiss and get to himself honour and glory, anything accepted. In our message this morning, we ask it for Christ's sake. Amen. Let us conclude with hymn 979. The tune is Brimington 309. Jesus those happy souls does bless, who hunger for his righteousness, who seek the smilings of his face and thirst for fresh supplies of grace. They cannot here contented live on all the dainties earth can give. Their soul can feast on nothing less than Christ's eternal righteousness. Who's Of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each. Amen.